Morning Park Place. It's another beautiful day. Even closer to Christmas. Isn't that something that we have this time of year? And we spoke about that last week, where we're approaching a time where we're just thankful for the gift that God sent to us. Amen?
Amen.
If you will today, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And 7. 6 verse 7. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Dear Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, dear Lord, for giving us another opportunity, a blessed opportunity, to just come humbly before you, to praise you, Lord, for life, for health, for strength in our bodies, to praise you, Father God, for being our provider, to praise you, Lord, for blessing us every day with an opportunity just to see your goodness, to improve our walk with you, to increase our fellowship and our level of communication with you. Lord, today we are just so thankful for the word that you've given us. We're thankful, Father God, for the songs that have come up to you, from us to you, and for those who have rendered their gifting to you. Lord, today we are just wanting you to have your way. We're wanting to learn more about you. We want to have more of you when we leave this church today, so that we will be more examples to this world of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, today I ask that I decrease and that your Holy Spirit within me increase, so that your word will be given the way you gave it to me. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Today I want to teach just briefly from the topic, there's no better gift than Jesus. There's no better gift than Jesus. You know, at this time of year, we celebrate Christmas. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if you are a parent and if you're a Christian parent, it gives us another opportunity to remind our children about what Christmas is really about. You know, we like gifts and we like eating and gathering and getting together. You know, this year is a little bit different than norm. We're not able to really gather the way we would like to. However, it doesn't prevent us from having the character and having the love of Jesus Christ and the Christian character that is a blessing to those that we meet. And so in sharing the message of what Christmas is really about, we're able to remind them that Jesus Christ, he really is the reason for the season. It's Jesus Christ. He really is the purpose for this time of year, for us to reflect on the original gift that God gave to us, that now is within us and gives us an opportunity to share with others. Amen? And so, he being a good father is no different than us. At this time of year, he reminds us about his gift. He reminds us about what is really, truly important about this time of year. And it's Jesus Christ. Amen? And so now we're understanding that there's no better gift than Jesus. There's no better gift that God has given to us than his Son. And according to the scripture in Isaiah, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And it speaks of the government that will be upon his shoulders. Within Scripture, this makes reference to the fact that when you are referring to government in Scripture, you're referring to authority. And you're referring also to assignment. You, when you speak of government, you're saying that the person which is being referenced has a weight of authority and a weight of assignment, meaning that when they appear on the scene, they are appearing for a purpose and for a set time. And so now that we know that there is no better gift than Jesus, and Scripture says that God has given his Son to us as a gift, and we as Christians have said, Jesus, come in, and I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life, then now we hold the gift. And with the gift comes all of the characteristics that are spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. He says that the government will be upon his shoulders, which means that when we as Christians say, Lord Jesus, come in, there is a governmental responsibility that comes on our shoulders. Amen. There is a responsibility to walk not in the realm and in the government of the world and the people of men, but instead to transcend that and to walk in the government of the kingdom of heaven. We have a responsibility to walk in the authority and in the kingdom of God. And with that, it means that it changes the way that we think about things. It changes the way that we react to things. It changes the way that we have conversations about things. When Jesus came, being the greatest gift that could be given by God, he came and gave us assignment. For every believing Christian today who has the blood of Jesus Christ upon them and the Son of God in their heart, in their spirit, we have a new government and a new assignment, meaning we are in the world but not of the world. And this time of year, many of us remember, and God brings to our remembrance who we are in him. We are a chosen people, a peculiar nation. We are set apart by God to be different than the people that are walking in the world today. Because until they accept and embrace the Son of God, they have no idea of the opportunity that they have to be kings and queens in the kingdom of God, to be children of God, having the authority of God in their mouth, speaking things into existence that are in the realm of the heavens and bringing them down to man. Speaking that there is peace in this world when Satan would take people's peace away from them. But because the government is upon our shoulders through Jesus Christ in our hearts, then we are able to speak peace when there is trouble and turmoil. We are able to speak love into the hearts of people and into the minds of people as we share the word of God, because the government of Jesus Christ has come to this earth. It has come in the body of his Son. It was shed at Calvary. And when the blood was shed at Calvary, it opened up the opportunity for us to be the sons of God. It opened the opportunity for us to walk in a new realm of freedom that was lost in the garden. It opens an opportunity for us to walk into our pure privilege as children of Almighty God. Isaiah saying that the government would be upon his shoulders, and also saying that his name would be called Wonderful. This word shall be called is a Hebrew word, korah, and it means to call, to declare, to summons, to invite, which means when you say Emmanuel, people are drawn. That's why the Bible says, and Jesus says to us, if I be lifted up, I'll do the drawing. Hallelujah. When we as Christians get to the place where we are bold enough to say Jesus at the right time and in the right opportunity, people are drawn to him. The war that we face in this world today is the bravery and the courage to say Jesus at the time that the Holy Spirit on the inside of us says, speak him in this situation. Speak him to this person that is lost. Speak about and talk about him to this person that doesn't know the way. Lift him up at this moment in time, and don't be ashamed of the gospel in this moment, because according to this Hebrew word, when we declare him, it's a summons. When we understand that the power in this name, Jesus, Emmanuel, Yahweh, it has a drawing power. So what does Satan try to do? He tries to shut the mouth of the church. Because if we as a people call upon the name of the Lord, hallelujah, people will be saved. People will be delivered. People will be saved. People will be brought back into the kingdom that have been lost. It's in this name, Emmanuel. We have a great gift in Jesus Christ. And we often just see him as that baby that's in the manger, and it's okay. This is the time of year that we remember that he came. And then there's a time that we remember that he was crucified and that he died for us. But what we cannot forget is that the gift remains. See, God gave us a gift. And so as we remember and as we call to remembrance the gift, then the Holy Spirit helps us to understand that we have government upon our shoulders, that we have the authority to speak his name in a good season, and people's lives are changed. Even as I hear about people that are experiencing COVID and people that are having surgeries and people that may be dealing with any level of change in their lives right now, then we as Christians have the right, the God-given right to say Jesus. See, it is the simple prayer often that moves God. Jesus said you don't have to stand on a corner and to be seen of men. Sometimes it's when you get into your prayer closet and you close the door. And when you say Jesus, that's enough. See, when we understand about the power of this name and that this name has a drawing component, then all he wants us to say is Jesus. And that's enough. Jesus at a time when people are needing hope. Jesus at a time when people are needing an answer. We speak his name. Amen. It says in Isaiah also that he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So what this portion of Scripture says to us is that the Father and the Son were one. In other words, when Jesus came so that he could say, this is what my Father looks like. When you see me talk, this is how the Father talks. When you see me walk, this is how he walks. When you see me react to something, that's the way he reacts. Well, John 17 says that he came so that we could be one in him as he is one in the Father. It says that when we invite him in Scripture into our hearts, we become one with him. So when we are living our lives, people should be able to see a mirror of God. They should be able to have a clear mirror image of what God is, who he is to us, who he wants to be to them. Amen. When we are looking at this scripture and we're understanding that Isaiah is painting a clear picture of a Savior that is coming into the world, and then we understand the scripture to mean that it is being given to us as a gift, then every one of us has an assignment. Every one of us has an assignment. So the question would be, if we know that this is a gift that has been given, how are we using our gift? Are we using every opportunity to share it? Are we using every opportunity to use it? Because Jesus is a gift that is personal, but he was given personally to each one of us. He was given personally to each one of us. When we understand the mind of God as revealed to us through Jesus Christ, we understand that God specifically said, I am sending the gift for you, and this is what the gift, Jesus Christ, is going to do for you, for you, for you, for me. It's a personal thing. It's a covenant relationship that we have with him. Amen. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, employ it. And even as I was studying, the Lord sometimes, he has a sense of humor. And what he said is, he said, this gift is to be employed. But there are a lot of people that have put their gift in unemployment. He said a lot of Christians have an unemployed gift. The gift is sitting somewhere and not being used. So the question is our gift employed or unemployed? Are we giving the gift an assignment? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we are to do in this earth to glorify God? If your gift is singing, sing for the glory of God. If your gift is helping people, do it for the glory of God. If your gift is to teach, teach for the glory of God. Don't ever let your gift die, because whatever God has revealed to you personally, to you, that he wants you to do in this earth realm, it is not too late to do it. The word of God is given to us today to let us know it is never too late to do what God has called you to do. It's never too late. It's never too late to do the thing that God placed in your heart when you were a child. It's never too late. It's never too late to do the thing that God has revealed to you that he specifically has called you to do. Your gift should never be unemployed. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that means that because there is the same Holy Spirit that is giving the gifts of God, my gift is supposed to complement yours. There should not be a time where I am doing what God has told me to do and we clash. And there's not harmony and there's not unity. When you operate in the excellence of what God has called you to do, then you operating in the excellence of what God has called you to do, it always meshes. There's always peace. There is always joy. There is always excitement. Energy feeds on energy, and iron sharpens iron as we all move forward in the kingdom. Amen. We know that in Matthew 25:14-30, there was a story about the talents. And I'll let you read that in your own time at home. But in this story, we see that each one of these three people were given talents. And each one was given opportunity. Two of them used opportunity to allow their gifting to be used and increased. And one did not. One buried his gift, and his gift did not increase. So the word the scripture gives us today, never bury your gift. Never assume that just having the gift is enough, because it's not. It is not enough to be gifted to do what God has called you to do. You have to put the gift in action. And the way that you know that you have a gift that needs to go into action is when opportunity keeps knocking at the door. And people keep coming to you and saying, I need you to do this. Can you do this for me? And you say, well, okay, I'll do it this time. You know, I got a little time. And later, somebody keeps knocking and saying, well, I heard that you helped so-and-so. Can you help me too? That's your gift. That is your God-given gift that he wants you to use for him. Not all gifts are standing in a pulpit and preaching. Some gifts are just calling people on the phone and encouraging them. That's the knocking of the Holy Ghost saying, this is what I called you to do. This is the piece of the body that is not active right now. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And with being the body of Jesus Christ, the whole body has to act. And the whole body has to be active in order for the gift to be revealed. Amen? It says also that he is establishing government. And we understand that establishing government comes with responsibility. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so what that reveals to us as Christians is we have no excuse. We have no excuse to say, I can't share this gift that has been given to me. Why? Because all power was given to him in heaven and in earth. And if all power was given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, and he lives in me, then it means according to heavenly government and the kingdom of God that I have all power. It is only my faith that limits it. I have the power to say, Jesus, bless this person. I pray, Lord, that you bless this person. And the word of God says that my request, the Father hears it, and he hears his voice. And through hearing his voice coming from me and from Jesus Christ on the inside, that person is healed. That person is blessed. That person is encouraged. I challenge the church today to use the authority that Jesus Christ has placed on the inside of us. It is a waste of authority for him to say our power is given in heaven and in earth and for us to not shake things up in this world today. This is not a time for the church to be afraid. This is not a time for the church to cower in a corner. This is the time for us to come and to fight for him. Amen. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. We are not to be a docile people for him. We are to be powerful people according to the word of God. We are to have the power and the dunamis and the strength of the word and the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a powerful authority. He is not a meek, weak spirit. It is the Spirit of God. The scripture says that when God appears, things begin to shake and to tremble. It says that at his breath, that the cedars of Lebanon are split and moved out of the way. That's the Spirit that is on the inside of us. That's Jesus that is on the inside of us. Walk like we have power. Talk like we have power. Encourage like we have power. Pray like we expect him to answer. Why? Because we are moving in his authority, and the government now is also on our shoulders. Amen. And so now we see in Proverbs 19 and 21, it says, many plans are in the person's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. What that means is that we all have our own agenda. Every one of us. We got an agenda. We know that we don't always agree with what God tells us to do. Those are the plans that are in our heart. But if you read scripture, he's going to always have his way. You can run from your calling and your gifting, but you can't hide. And if Jonah was to walk down this aisle today, he'd tell a lot of Christians, you need to go ahead and do what you're going to do, because he's going to stay on you until you do what he's told you to do. You know, a parent, we're parents. When we tell our children to do something or we give them an assignment, get it done. That's my house. Get it done. There's no compromise. You're not old enough to have a vote yet. I know you think you don't want to have something to say, but you have like zero vote. And that's the way this whole country should be. It should go back to zero votes, where when you're a child, you have no vote. It's our laws, period. Get it done. That's what God is like. He gives us the right to come to him and to discuss it. It says, come, let us reason together, say the Lord. But it doesn't say that he is not going to have his way. It just says that he will allow you to walk in disobedience. And if you don't want to listen, he's going to allow it. But suddenly, at one point or another, you're going to understand that his way is better than the way that we have chosen. And so his plans, the plans of a person's heart are many, but the Lord's decree will prevail. The gift has come to guide us and to give us truth. Jesus came to reveal truth. Jesus came to remove the lie that Satan fed Adam and Eve in the garden. The lie that says that we can do it our way and still get what we want. The lie that says that we can do it our way and still be like God. You know, Satan lied to them and he said, now, if you eat of this fruit, if you partake of this fruit, then you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That was the lie. The lie that he gave them was because they were already like God. They just didn't know sin, because the relationship and the fellowship that they had with God only gave them life. But the relationship that they had after they sinned had a component that was in place to steal life. The scripture says he comes to steal. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the component that was introduced there. Amen. And so now, in closing, I just want us to remember something. In Matthew 2, we see the story of the Magi. And the Magi were the three wise men that came, and they were guided by a star. And they came from the east, guided by a star. They knew that in following the star, they were going to find the king. Follow the star, find the king. Now we have the king on the inside. So that means the star is leading still to the king. Amen. And if the star still continues to lead to the king, and he now is the light, it means we have an opportunity that when God is having people looking for the king, we have an opportunity to share him with other people. That is why he says that we are the light of the world. We're the light because he lives on the inside of us. And because he lives on the inside of us, we have a responsibility to be consistent in our walk. And our consistent walk is to share that gift. Every opportunity that we have to share the gift. In every opportunity that you see to share that gift, so that people will be brought to him and people will know the truth. Amen.